From the Wild West to the Midwest, feral horses rounded up on federal land are being paired with local veterans, both learning to cope in a new landscape. I'm David James, and next on 2 Main Street, my conversation with the trainers at the Mustang Adoption Academy in Gibson County. And we'll hear from a veteran who shares his story of healing. Sky Epperson is the founder and director at the Academy at the Triple E Ranch, and Daniela Da Silva is the program facilitator. Nick Miller is a local veteran who graduated from the Academy and is now an active volunteer. The Academy focuses on brain-based horsemanship. We'll find out how that works and how the Academy provides a learning ground for others, including students who are considering a career of working with horses. 2 Main Street is next, presented by Jeffrey Berger, Kim Wren, and the Berger Wealth Services team at Bayard Private Wealth Management. From the WNIN Public Media Center in downtown Evansville, I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street. The American Mustang, the horse, not the car, is a symbol of the Wild West. Feral horses, their manes flowing in the wind, roam free in herds on vast stretches of public land, 27 million acres across 10 western states. These majestic animals are descendants of domestic horses brought to the Americas by the Spanish in the 16th century. The Bureau of Land Management oversees their population in the wild. There are roundups, and the horses and burros are available for adoption. Some of those animals end up at the Triple E Ranch in Gibson County. That's just outside of Hobstadt. It's the home of the Mustang Adoption Academy. And my guests are the founder and director of the Academy, Sky Epperson, and Daniela Da Silva, program facilitator. And later, we'll talk to Nick Miller, a local veteran, a graduate of the Academy, and a volunteer at the Triple E Ranch. So guys, welcome to 2 Main Street. Good to have you here. Sky, let's start with you. How did a guy who grew up in Indiana get involved with these feral horses in the Wild West?
Oh, so it's a really long story, but I started out with horses very late in life. I've only probably got about 20, 21 years of experience with horses. But my father and my mother, for that matter, had horses when they were young. My father got back into horses. I had an opportunity to move closer to him, and I have a younger brother that's about 20 years younger than me, and they were both insistent that I get a horse. Don't let my father pick out your first horse. It was not necessarily what probably should have been an individual's first horse, but it did start a passion with me and trying to figure out the horse's brain.
Was this crime?
No. This was my first horse. This was actually a domestic horse.
Okay.
And then later, I started to have some interest in the Mustang itself. I watched a film called Unbranded, where these four young men decided that they were going to adopt Mustangs in January one year, and April 1st, they took off from the Mexican border and rode to Canada that summer.
Wow.
And
check that one out.
And I started thinking, man, you know, if my domestic horses tried to do that, they wouldn't have the hardiness to do that. And I was like, how in the world does this Mustang was it able to do that, you know, and stay healthy and stay weight gain and, you know, all of those things. And so that started the path of, you know, becoming interested in the Mustang. I became so infatuated with the film that I actually brought it to Evansville. We were able to show it in one of the local cinemas, and we packed the house for it. So that was kind of cool.
Yeah.
And then a few years later, I got this gumption that, you know, maybe I can gentle Mustangs.
But you were a home builder, weren't you?
I was. I had a business called Century Home Builders for about 20 years. I had the opportunity to sell that, which freed up some time, and needed to keep myself off the streets. So I thought gentling Mustangs would be a great thing to do.
And the rest is history. Now, Daniela, how did you get involved in this madness?
Oh, well, I was riding before I was born.
Really?
So I was.
Well, that's a good story.
My mom never stopped riding. And I started as soon as I could. And I actually started in the show world. So that was my lot in life was going to be I was going to compete and was kind of torn between show jumping and dressage, which is two of the main disciplines. And then I burnt out. For me, seeing some of the methods that were used in the training of the horses and participating in that world was tough. So it just didn't really sit with how I personally trained horses, and I couldn't really see how I was going to make a living and also stay true to how I saw that I wanted to train horses.
Where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Bermuda.
Oh, really?
I did, yeah.
Oh, I didn't know they had many horses in Bermuda.
We do, actually. We have quite a thriving equine population
there.
So, yeah.
What kind of horses? In Bermuda.
Oh, all of them.
Really?
Yeah. No Mustangs, I will say that, because
so
they are America's horse.
You ride on the pink sand?
We do.
Oh, my goodness.
Certain times of year, there are rules. We do still have rules there, but.
So how did you end up in Indiana?
So I've bounced around many places. I've lived in many countries, traveled to about 60 countries extensively, and always seem to find horses along the way or as a part of those journeys. I've worked in many different disciplines, but never really committed myself to that because I hadn't found like-minded people and a way to be able to do it full-time.
This is your passion. This is really your guy's passion.
It is.
So how did the veterans get involved in all this, Sky?
Oh, so there was a time period in doing demonstrations that were with the Mustang Summit Group where every time I turned around, I did a demonstration, there would be somebody tapping me on
the
shoulder.
What's the Summit Group?
So the Mustang Summit Group is a loosely collected cast of characters that Lise Ann Fear actually gathered on her ride across America on Mustangs to promote Mustang adoption. And she brought us all together at the end of that ride. And we all have the same passion. We all have this passion to promote the Mustang, get the Mustang adopted successfully. Train the Mustang in a way or educate the Mustang in a way that is gentle and kind.
And that's where the veterans come in, right?
And then they also have a mental health aspect, too. So there was people in this group that were not only do what I do as far as gentling the Mustangs, but there was also mental health professionals. There was artists, authors, etc. And so we travel the United States, and we'll do demonstrations. Like for our part, we do demonstrations where there'll be six to eight people like myself, that will gentle Mustangs over a few day process so people can see and evaluate how to do that. And, it also gives the people that moment if they adopt a Mustang and they get home and they have their oh crap moment, as I like to call it, where suddenly they're like, oh, I don't know anything about horses because this horse doesn't react the way, you know, all my other horses have. Now they have a group of people that they can call and call for help.
Now, Veterans Service Program, how did you get involved in that, guys? Daniela? You're a program facilitator, aren't you?
So I actually happened upon these guys at one of the summits. A big draw of it for me was the mental health aspect. That's a lot of my background is mental health. I volunteered for about 20-plus years with a program that does more hypotherapy and equine-assisted therapy with kids with autism, Down syndrome, et cetera. I hadn't personally been involved in any veterans programs. So they have panels at these summits, and a lot of the people that have the different programs will get up and speak about their program. And I just happened to have some time in between at the summit. I walked up there, and there was a group of program facilitators and owners and veterans that were sitting up there talking about what they do and the parallels between the Mustangs and the veterans and how it helped them kind of re-assimilate back into civilian life. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, how can you not be hooked after that?
Now, the Triple E property, I visited your ranch near Hobstadt. Tell me about the ranch. The name Triple E, what does that stand for?
So I was blessed with triplets about 23 years ago, a little over 23 years ago. And so that is where the name of our ranch came from.
Wow. Well, that's another story.
If you can handle triplets, I think you can handle Mustangs.
And some horses, definitely. No, so how many horses and burros you have there? I mean, burros, too.
We do.
So, of course, Mustangs and burros come and go at the ranch, but, you know, with adoptions. But there's currently 21 horses and burros there at the ranch. Now, some of those are our personal horses, and they will have forever homes there. But then some of them are, over half of those are Mustangs that, as they are gentled and ready to be adopted, become adopted.
Yeah. I noticed when I went out there, your mom was also in one of the barns.
Yes, that's Mother Mucker, as we like to call her.
So I guess she's... This is her. Does she live there?
She does not.
Okay.
My mom had a 10-mile rule. She didn't want to live within 10 miles of me when she moved closer.
Okay.
But she does come 3 times a week and volunteers, and she mucks at 80 years old or so. She mucks pens and mixes feed, as you saw, and... jumps right in there and helps. In fact, sometimes we probably have to hold her back a little bit.
Well, she seemed very enthusiastic about it.
Yes.
I'm sure she loves those horses as well. So when you started adopting these Mustangs, how did that first go with that first group?
So I brought in two together. One of those horses became my heart horse. sorry. as I was, went to Ewing, Illinois. First of all, there's a facility in Ewing, Illinois, ran by the Bureau of Land Management, where we get most of our Mustangs from. And anybody that wants to adopt an unhandled or untouched Mustang can go there and actually pick up a Mustang. It's only about an hour and a half from our ranch.
Just a big corral of horses?
Yeah, so they have, probably 10 to 12 pens, and then they also have some acreage where the horses get turn out. And when I say pens, their pens are, you know, very, very, very large size.
Right,
Not a pen for, you know, one horse with 20 in it.
So you brought home some horses.
Yeah, and first thing is the horse that I first was drawn to. He was a 15-year-old male horse. He had been a stallion in the wild for 12 years before he was rounded up. He would have been called what was a 3-strikes horse, and that he had been up for adoption 3 times, and nobody picked him. And he was big for a Mustang. Mustangs are not terribly small, but they're also not known for their large size. So Specs was probably approaching 17 hands, but not quite there. So he was intimidating. Mm-hmm. And I also, I actually called 3 different horsemen and women while I was there to have them try to talk me out of taking this horse. Because I didn't think that something that had been a stallion in the wild for 12 years was probably necessarily what I should be gentling the first go around. Yeah.
But talking Sky out of doing anything that he's already got his heart set to is not an easy feat.
Okay. So how did it go with this first
animal? So, I mean, Specs and I had so much fun, and, it became, and And he taught me so much. He taught me, A, that I could do this. He taught me that there had to be some other ways that I needed to learn to do things, and that the Mustang wasn't just like our domestic horses. And then he eventually he did go to an adopter, if probably that adopter hadn't made arrangements when she did, I probably would not have ever been able to send him away. But mm-hmm. she adopted the horse, and I can remember the day that he went away. I did a social media post that talked about sending my, you know, the old timers talk about you get one horse in a lifetime that's your horse.
Well, you said it's your heart.
Yeah.
It's your heart horse.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw you kind of broke up over that one.
Yeah, and so I...
That's your baby.
I sent him. sent him away. I didn't have much of a social media presence at that time. But even that little post got a lot more activity, views than what was most did. And then about 6 months went by. And I got a call from that adopter, and she said, you know, I've been blessed. I've become pregnant, but my husband thinks that Specs is a little bit too big of a project for me while I'm pregnant and raising a young one. Would you want him back? And so I was like, absolutely. give me 2 weeks. I got to make some space. I've got a horse that's going to go out for adoption soon. And I'll come pick him up. And so we were able to go back and bring Specs home. And we started to, get reacquainted. I will back up because Specs was a pretty smart horse. And so the day that I loaded him in the trailer to send him away, he had loaded hundreds of times by this point in time. He had it down pat. When I brought him up to load, he did something that he'd never done before, and it seems like Specs knew what was going to happen. He raised up his right front leg as high as he could, and he slammed it down on the trailer door, and he refused to load for about a half hour. Mm-hmm. And then once I did load him, I took the halter off and said my goodbye, and as I was leaving, I was trailing the lead rope behind me, and watched him pick up his foot and step on the lead rope.
Did not want to
Which
go.
Meant that I had to go back into the trailer and, you know, tell him that, you know, these were good people and it was going to be all right.
Let's go full circle now. You got Specs back. Is he still there?
He is not. Unfortunately, Specs passed away about 30 about a month
mm-hmm.
after he came home.
Okay. Okay, Daniela, let's have you pick up. Do you have a heart horse you want to talk about?
Oh, they're all my heart horses so far. I had my heart horse. I was very fortunate when I was younger. He came across me. He was not a Mustang, so I know I'm just waiting for my heart Mustang.
Mm-hmm.
But whether they are your heart horses or not, they take a little piece of you when they go. And as Sky likes to put it, they also leave a little piece behind with you.
Right.
So we do this for them. And, you know, with the story of Specs, Sky let him go because it was the right thing for the horse.
Right. Right.
So that is the pursuit of all of this. It's the right thing for the animals.
My guests are Sky Epperson. He's the founder and director of the Mustang Adoption Academy in Gibson County, and program facilitator Daniela Del Silva. Now, you talk about brain-based horsemanship, you guys, and would you describe that as a game changer?
Oh, gosh, absolutely, absolutely. So working with Mustangs, I had been successful at the start. And it had helped hundreds of domestic horses, become great horses, be able to be successful in domestic life. And the same with the Mustangs. And then I got sent a horse, by the name of Crime, should have been a first clue that things weren't going to be easy. And Crime had some previous human experiences, but so he not only still had the wild in him, but he also had some really bad educational experiences from humans. And I was about 40, 45 days working with Crime when I discovered that, you know what, I'm not helping this horse. I'm actually making him worse. And since you all know that I'm emotional already now, today with my spec story, I laid down and I cried in Crime's pen. I couldn't understand why I couldn't help him. I'd been able to help all the others. But as we all should do when we're trying to help horses into a world that they're not necessarily designed to be in, I kept searching. And a friend of mine introduced me to a gentleman by the name of Wes Taylor, who had become a disciple of Dr. Steve Peters, who developed brain-based horsemanship. And Dr. Peters was a neuroscientist, brain surgeon, autistic, and got horses later in life, similar to me, and started to watch how people were working with his horses to help him and thought, there's got to be a better way. So he started studying the brain of the horse, and he discovered that there were many things that we were doing right as horse people, but there was also many things that we were not totally getting. And so after a couple days of spending time with Wes, I brought those tenets of brain-based horsemanship, probably pretty rudimentarily, back to the ranch, back to Crime in particular. And 7 days later, I had an entirely different horse. And 42 days later, he went home to an adopter. And so we went from a horse that I didn't know what the heck I was going to do with, because they couldn't go to an adopter, to a horse that is successful today.
It was a companion horse, Posado.
Yeah, Posado is one of our horses too.
Which is the Spanish slang for pain in the butt. Did you know that?
I did.
Yes.
I did. That's how he got his name.
Yes.
So
Posado.
Posado, when he first came to us, we were his fourth home in 2 weeks. And so Posado, when I unloaded him at our place, I told him he didn't ever have to go anyplace else. And Posado, you know, if you can imagine trying to find a safe way in a new life, and you're in four places in 2 weeks, it's not a great, you know, story. And but so he didn't really want anything to do with me in the start. Unless I sat down in the pen next to him while I was working with Crime, or I stood, you know, next to they were penned up in pens adjoining, and he would often come over and steal my hat as I was standing there working with the other horse. And so I purposely, you know, and I usually work with the horse for a while before they get a name, and so I was trying to determine slang for pain in the butt. And so that's where I came up with
great.
It. And then I have a daughter that is a Spanish teacher, so that kind
there
of...
There you go.
You know.
she appreciated that, I'm sure. Now, these horses, Daniela, are identified, aren't they, when they're brought from the roundup? These have an ID mark?
They do. They have a Freeze brand mark.
What's a Freeze brand mark?
So it's a number that they put on the side of the horse's neck, and they do it with a similar to if you were burning off a wart or something.
Okay, so a hot brand.
Yeah. No, they don't do that anymore. It's much more humane the way that they do it, and it's much longer lasting. So you can always identify the horse from their Freeze brand. And at the time of the roundup, they tag them as well. So they put a rope with a little plastic chip on the bottom of it with the last four numbers of their Freeze brand. So that's how you identify them. And it's actually, it allows us a really cool moment when you bring in one of the horses for the Genelene program. It's an amazing moment to take the tag off because you've gotten to the point where they allow you close enough and they trust you enough to be able to do it. And we, at that point, that's the way that we work at the Mustang Adoption Academy, is that's when we give them their name and say that they have chosen to step into domestic life with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's go back to the roundup process. It's kind of controversial. The Bureau of Land Management has, all these millions of acres of public land, and I think it was like 82,000 horses. I think that's the last estimate I had on those public lands. And because they round them up because, I guess, because they're afraid of overpopulation. And anyway, but they have helicopters that they round them up with. That's controversial because there's a stampede, and some of the horses sometimes are injured during the stampede. So anyway, so they round them up, and then they send them out to these like little satellite corrals around the country?
Yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, so throughout the country, there's places much like the facility we talked about in Ewing, Illinois. Most of them are in the West, and that is where the public can go and find their Mustang. Or like in our case, a lot of our adopters will, they'll contact us, say, hey, I would like to get a gentled Mustang. I don't want to necessarily, especially for the first go-around, adopt an unhandled Mustang. I understand, a lot of them understand that they are different than our domestic horses and they need to be handled a little bit differently. And so a lot of times they'll contact us. We'll actually go and make the trip together. Later you'll probably get to hear from Nick. Mm-hmm. He's adopted a couple of our Mustangs, and him and I went to Ewing, Illinois, picked out the horses together, and then brought them home. But you can do that in facilities throughout the United States.
Now, is there a cost involved in this adoption process?
Yes. So $125 adoption fee will go to the Bureau of Land Management. And then through our program, there's a $650 fee or donation to our nonprofit, the Mustang Adoption Academy.
That's for the training?
Yes.
Geneling process?
Yes, yes. And we're only able to keep that so low because of a great donation that came in about a year and a half ago that's allowed us to do it at that low price.
Danielle, tell us about the volunteers. I know they're very important.
They are. There's only two of us out there full time, and we couldn't handle 20 plus horses. So we have an amazing group of volunteers, and they do everything from mucking the pens with us to learning brain-based horsemanship to work with the horses. And then we have admin volunteers, so people that really, they love the horses and they support what we're doing, or they have family members that are veterans and they want to support in some way, but they either can't or don't particularly want to be fully involved with the horses themselves. And that's equally as important. So we have some wonderful volunteers. We also run a student volunteer program, which is really blossoming. So we take in, obviously with parental permission, we take in student volunteers, and they come to the ranch as their studies allow.
Okay. Well, coming up, we're going to learn more about the veterans program at the Mustang Adoption Academy as Nick Miller joins the conversation. How has he benefited from bonding with these horses and his advice to other veterans who may be struggling? I'm David James, and we'll be right back to Main Street. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James, and my guests are sharing the mission of the Mustang Adoption Academy, not adopting cars, but feral horses from the Wild West. Skye Epperson is the director and founder of the Academy, located in Gibson County, just west of Hopstop. Joining Skye right now is Nick Miller, who has completed the Academy's program for veterans and is now an active volunteer at the Triple E Ranch. So, Nick, let's go with you. How did you hear about the veterans program at the Mustang Adoption Academy?
So, Skye was developing the veterans program, and I was actually the first guinea pig. My wife loves horses. I didn't particularly care one way or the other, but we got involved with him through a mutual friend, and we sort of hit it headlong together and kind of found a way through, and he helped me, and I helped him, and it was an excellent experience.
Well, tell me about that that trip to the corral in Illinois to see that first adopted horse. What was that like?
Well, this was a little bit after the veterans program, but through the veterans program and enjoying being around Skye and the horses.
Yeah, you and Amy go over to see the horses, right?
Yes, and ended up picking two of them out.
Oh, really?
Yes, so I have two Mustangs now. Uh-huh.
Well, how do you pick out a horse?
That is a tough thing to do. I had a big list and I narrowed it down, but realistically it came down. You can almost just look in their eyes and go, you're going to come home with me today, aren't you?
I always, people ask me that, and I always tell them that they're going to choose you.
Oh, really?
They do.
There's a kind of a connection there. Yeah.
There is.
The bonding there.
Yeah. Mm. I've actually had horses where, you know, we talked about that tag, you know, it's hanging down under their chin and on their neck. And I can remember a horse that it took me about 35 minutes to be able to read his tag because every time I moved, he moved to see me. And so I could never get that side view of him to get the tag number. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I was playing cat and mouse with him, you know, because we can't at the facility, you can't go into the pens with him. You have to stay outside of the pens. And, you know, it was an interesting, you know, but he was fixated on me. And I think that often happens to people. I know Daniela, the first time that she went to Ewing, she was asking me the same question. How are you going to know? And I said, they'll pick you. You'll know.
Okay, so Nick and Amy pick out two horses. They go back to the academy to be gentled, right?
Yes.
And how long did that take?
One of my horses, what was it? Maybe 90 days. She did really, really great. The other one is actually still there. Every Mustang's different, and she was a little bit older, and she's got some neural pathways we're still working on. She's doing really good. We'd love to get her home as soon as we can, but he's working on her, and she's coming along.
So do you have, like, a ranch or a farm? Or
I have about 12 acres.
Okay.
Yep.
So they have plenty of room to roam around. Mm-hmm. That's good. Do you have any other animals?
Oh, just the dogs and cats.
Okay. So how is... this experience with the academy, as a veteran, has it helped you kind of cope with the things?
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. So my experience, something that I didn't know anything about horses when I went there, nothing at all. When I got there, I was borderline concerned and sort of scared of horses because they're just such an intimidating animal, very, very large. So no experience with the Mustangs, especially. Skye, very level-headed trainer. We'd find something I could do, and then he'd kind of expand my boundaries more than anything. So that helped me tremendously, because I really shrank away from stuff when I came home from Iraq. Started pulling away from people and society, and I really didn't want anything to do with it. So Mustangs especially have a really interesting way of showing your inner thoughts and fears and your struggles. Nothing at all can be hidden from a Mustang. You walk in the pen with them and they see right through you, everything that you have going on. So while participating in the Mustang of Service program, I learned that a horse is always looking for safety. That is what they're after. That is their come down to the moment of I feel good in this moment.
Well, they were kind of like, they were a prey animal at one time, weren't they?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In the West.
Yes, absolutely. So... if the horse is acting up, running around, fighting, they don't feel safe. So something that I got to asking myself, because with that, I'm like, maybe I have something going on. Nothing that he talked about. This isn't a talk therapy thing. It's just you're just working with the horses, and they show so much about you as you're working with them. So something that I had to ask myself was, well, do I not feel safe? And it's not a question that I've ever asked myself. So when I started talking about that, in my head, you know, looking in the mirror at home, I'm like, what am I doing with my life? I was separating myself. I was running away from people that loved me. And I finally asked myself, am I safe? And the answer was a resounding no. I didn't feel safe in society. I didn't feel safe in my own skin. And I just didn't feel safe around anybody. So just sort of an inner reflection was really the big first light bulb moment for me working with the program.
Now, you went to Iraq with the Evansville Base Guard Unit?
I did, the 163rd.
Yeah. Now, how long were you in Iraq then?
We were in Iraq for 10 months for that deployment. Mm-hmm. So I only did one deployment, 2008.
Mm-hmm. So what was that experience like? What did you guys do?
I was with a company that ran convoy security. Mm-hmm. A few other companies did other things, but my job was convoy security. Mm-hmm. We kept the trucks safe, going back and forth, civilian trucks for supplies.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any frightening moments?
We had some interesting moments, nothing maybe for radio time.
Mm-hmm. Well, but enough to, you don't forget them, do you?
Don't forget those moments ever.
You don't, okay.
I think one of the things, and Nick kind of touched us on this, but one of the things that civilians often don't understand about veterans is they go through a boot camp, 8 to 10 weeks of boot camp, and in that 8 to 10 weeks, basically everything is torn down about civilian life or torn out of them and put in place what the military needs from them. And safety is now found in the military because you know how everybody around you is going to react all the time. Our failure with the military is that they don't do anything. They don't spend 8 to 10 weeks to bring you back into civilian life. And so now they're thrown into civilian life and everybody thinks, well, gosh, they knew this before they went into the military. What's the big deal? Well, the big deal is again, safety for many people. And they don't understand what the guy next to them and how they're going to react. Or the wife at home and how they're going to react. And so that it's not getting the mission done in civilian life is much different than getting the civilian the
well,
mission
done. Well, it's kind of a parallel with
the military.
Animals too, because they really don't know what's going on either.
You got it. Absolutely.
Because they're on edge. They're in a new environment too. So you guys are trying to bond.
Absolutely.
And you have bonded with at least one of them, right?
I have. I've actually got a hard, I wouldn't say a hard horse, but the one horse that at the ranch was the very first horse that I looked at, and I thought, man, I relate to you, guy. So his name's Whiskey.
Okay.
And he has a very traumatized background, multiple different trainers, owners. He has some injuries that he's trying to hide from you, and he can be a bit aggressive.
Rescued out of the same kill pen twice.
Oh, they're so a kill pin.
Yeah.
So
not there once, but twice.
Well, tell me what a kill pin is.
So a slaughter in Mexico and Canada of the horse is still legal. It's not legal anymore to do that in the United States, but the United States government will let a quota of horses go out daily into especially Mexico for slaughter. And so most of those animals start that pipeline to slaughter out of horse auctions. Mm. And they'll be the cheap horses that sell at the auctions.
And the people don't adopt them, and they just, after a while, they're into that pen, you said.
Yes.
So
yes.
A loving soul saw Whiskey and brought him to the Mustang Adoption Academy for Sky to work with.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when I got there, knowing nothing about horses, and I see Whiskey, Sky's words to me are, oh, don't mess with that horse. He's dangerous. So obviously my first thought is, I'm going to go get to know this horse.
Well, that's a challenge.
It is.
Maybe there was a little psychology going on there, you think? That's how he works, maybe.
So me and Whiskey had a really great moment one time. So he always stays away from everybody, humans, and he's gotten so much better now. But it was feed time in the evening. And he said, go get Whiskey. I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't go get Whiskey. He don't want to come. So I went out there, and we were out in the field. And he stopped, and he looked at me, and I looked at him. And, like, in my brain, I'm going, what are we doing? Can we do this? I don't think we can do this. And I'm like, come on, buddy, let's go. And he just started following me. And it was such a connection that I didn't have that connection for so many years. I know personally, and I know a lot of other veterans who have such a problem having a personal connection with people because it goes back to safety and trust.
Sure.
And that's something that I struggle with. And so Whiskey was the first meaningful connection that I had in 15 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's got to be very satisfying for you.
Oh, well, so that moment was a heck of a moment at the ranch because I could not get that connection with whiskey.
Hmm.
Not in the same manner that, you know, whiskey basically follows him for 500-600 feet, I would guess, through a couple different gates to make it into the barn lot. And I could do that with whiskey, but it would take me about 15 to 20 stops and loss of connection with him to do that.
Whiskey sensed the vulnerability with Nick.
Yes.
And there was that bonding moment.
Absolutely.
Wow.
Yep.
Now, Sky, there's a quote on your website saying veterans don't want to sit and talk about the bad things that have happened. They just want their lives to get better. Your program allows them to adjust without being victimized or threatened. And, of course, we all know about the suicide rate among veterans. So this is a very important program.
Yes. You know, there are 22 American veterans that commit suicide daily. Most of them have been through a variety of mental health programs by the time they end up with us. We do not treat this as a traditional talk therapy program. We're going to teach brain-based horsemanship, and through the teaching of brain-based horsemanship and working with the Mustangs and some of those parallels between the veterans and the Mustangs, the veterans often find their own path in their own way, sometimes with some nudging from us, and definitely some nudging from the Mustang. We just see great things come out of the program. And, you know, not only has Nick, have we seen the success stories from Nick, but we've seen success stories of, I had a young lady one time, I asked her to do something with the horse. She didn't feel safe doing that. She said no. And I didn't think a whole lot about that at the time. I just found something that she could do with the horse. And at the end of the session, you know, I kind of asked, you know, or we asked kind of like, hey, what did you get out of today's session? And she said, I was able to tell a man no for the first time. You know, so often you don't even know what's going to come out of the program,
right.
You know. And that was a cool moment, you know.
Nick, have you been able to share your experiences with other veterans?
Oh, I absolutely. I've shared with many veterans, but something that I always tell the veterans is the Mustang Service Program, it gives the veteran the ability to see another life form that's survival-based. Go from just fight and flight, just trying to run away from everything, and they're watching it actually come and get involved and be curious and open. So talk about parallels there.
Mm, yeah, definitely.
Veterans want to just get away from things, and being curious is so difficult as a veteran. And it also gets the veteran had to have the ability to interact with a Mustang and actually influence them in a really positive way. I at times have had really terrible home life problems just because I caused them, you know, my reactions or in anger, or these feelings that I was holding on to. But Mustangs, they just live in the moment, and you're there with them, and you mess up, that's okay, just come back later. They don't remember. Yesterday's wasn't a problem, tomorrow's not a problem, just today. And that is something that I really benefited from, and I've told others that they can easily benefit from as well.
And you can see that progress happening.
Absolutely.
That's very rewarding, definitely. Each horse, of course, does have a personality, as you guys have noticed and seen. What's that like, dealing with the horse's personality? Does it take a while to understand them?
It does to some degree or another, but like veterans, all horses are different, and at the Triple E Ranch, there's so many Mustangs in different stages of training.
Okay.
So you add their personality on top of what they can do and not do. So it's like going to a family reunion. You got your aunt, your uncle, like, and you got your grandma, and everybody's a little bit different. Right. So you're working with them and you're learning, and you really have to connect with them to understand why they're different and what you can do with them.
Mm-hmm. Nick Miller, you're a volunteer at the academy. What do you do as a volunteer?
So when they have their Mustang summits, and they go out of town or they go to the college and do their outreach.
Right.
Me and other volunteers come in, we'll muck and we'll feed and we'll take care of the horses while they're gone. And there's some volunteers that are spending quite a bit of time out there that help gentle the Mustangs as they come along.
Mm-hmm. So, and you certainly have benefited from this program. I think that's obvious.
Absolutely.
Okay. Nick, thanks for sharing your experiences with these feral horses as both veterans and the horses adjust to a new life.
Yes.
Definitely. Thanks a lot, Nick. Now, still to come, Daniela Da Silva returns to the conversation with Sky as we learn more about the academy, the importance of training these horses, and adoption returns, the do's and don'ts when adopting a Mustang, and the future of these horses in the wild. Much to talk about. I'm David James. This is 2 Main Street. We'll be right back. Welcome back to 2 Main Street. I'm David James. My guests are here to tell us about the Mustang Adoption Academy in Gibson County, where feral horses are being paired with veterans. It's a worthy mission and a passion for the founder and director of the Academy, Sky Epperson, and program facilitator, Daniela Da Silva. Let's go back to the veterans program. Daniela, you mentioned it's free to the veterans.
Yeah, we really wanted to let everybody know that. We are a nonprofit, and we are able, through that, to offer the Mustangs of Service program free to veterans.
And how many weeks is the program?
So you can come out. If you just want to come out for a day or an hour, you're welcome to do that and maybe evaluate whether you want to go on with the program. Or and the program itself, if you want to do the full program, it's kind of 12 to 16-week program if you're coming out once a day. But we also can kind of schedule that to your schedule. So we've had people that maybe they want to do a five-day intensive where for 5 days in a row, we go at it and teach all of the same things that we would teach over a 12 to 16-week program.
What's that bonding moment like between a veteran and a Mustang when you see that light bulb go off?
I think we probably get just as excited as they do. Like, yes, there it is. And the great thing as horse people is seeing people who don't necessarily have that background come in, whether that's the veterans, our student volunteers, our other volunteers, mm-hmm. Come into the program, and they don't need to be horse people to get something out of this. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Now, there is a romantic notion, of course, of adopting a Mustang and riding off into the sunset. That always doesn't happen, at least not right away, does it?
Well, you have to muck the pens first, Dave.
you got to pay your dues, right?
Absolutely.
That's part of it. But it can be a difficult process.
Yes. Unfortunately, there are Mustangs that get returned to the Bureau of Land
Management.
Yeah, I'll
talk about this adoption returns.
Yeah. And, I mean, recently the Bureau of Land Management actually reached out to us. They were having 4 Mustangs surrendered back to them. And at first they just kind of asked us, hey, would you be available to pick them up for us and get them back to Ewing? Of course, we were like, well, we have room for 2, so maybe we'll take a couple of them. We brought 4 back. Our thoughts were, well, we're gonna pick the 2 easiest ones, and we'll keep for ourselves. Maybe you want to tell the rest of the story of how
that
went.
We did the exact opposite. As he said before, they choose us.
Okay.
So, and then we ended up keeping all of them. We managed to place 1 with another trainer that we've worked with before up near the Chicago area, and we still have the other 3. Mm-hmm. So they've joined the program.
Any future plans for the Academy?
Oh, always future plans for the Academy. We're always wanting to expand the Mustang of Service program to be bigger, be able to help more veterans. We would like to be able to get more Mustangs gentled. All of that costs money.
How are you funded?
We are funded by mainly private individuals right now. Private individuals, some companies make donations to us, and those go directly into feeding the Mustang, allowing us to be able to work with the veterans and keep the services to the veterans for free.
My guests have been Sky Epperson, founder and director of the Mustang Adoption Academy at the Triple E Ranch, that's just west of Hopstot in Gibson County, and Daniela Da Silva, program facilitator. Thanks a lot, guys. And if you haven't seen a Mustang up close, you can see that wild spirit in their eyes and in the way they move. You want to add anything else to that description of a wild Mustang?
Oh, they can be really goofy, too.
Well, I want to hear about that. How goofy can they be?
Oh, they're all sorts of fun. They're very inquisitive, very curious. They like to pick things up and play with them. They love playing with Skye's hats. So.
Oh, really? Well, we heard one story about that. Oh,
yeah. We're even teaching one of them to paint right now.
Oh, well, that's an interesting story. Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. This has been a great conversation and continued success with the Mustang Adoption Academy. Thanks again.
Thank you so much.
And finally, some Mustang trivia. Each herd in the wild is led by a mare and a stallion that is at least 6 years old. When there's a sign of danger, the mare will lead the herd to safety, and the stallion will stay and fight. Today, there are few predators, mostly wolves. Mares carry their foals for 11 months, usually giving birth in April, May, or early June. And Mustangs usually live 25 to 30 years after being adopted. Mustangs live in the grassland areas of the western U.S., and there are herd management areas in Colorado, Nevada, Arizona, California, Utah, Idaho, Montana and the Dakotas, New Mexico, Oregon and Washington, Utah, and Wyoming. And these horses are not identified as wild animals because feral populations descended from domestic horses brought to the Americas by the Spanish. The Mustang Adoption Academy is hosting a fundraiser Saturday, May 3rd at the Triple E Ranch in Gibson County to support its Mustang Veterans Program. For more information, go to the Mustang Adoption Academy Facebook page. I'm David James, and this is 2 Main Street.